And people think as if it's almost something that you're going to go towards, that's going to happen to you. Like right now, you have a personal brand. Ask your manager, ask the people that meet you.
Just learn how to get stuff done. If your reputation is someone that gets stuff done, people will notice.
You get a bit desensitized to the fact that there's another human being, an actual physical human being on the other side. And it's when you make that connection with people, that's something that's again going to stick out with you. When you have 100 connection requests and you have 100 friends online, but there's one person that actually says, hey, let's go grab a coffee.
You've gone up this level, but now you're just at the bottom of the next level. So you've gone through the trenches to get your studies, your CTA, got to articles. But now you're just at the bottom of the next level.
Yeah.
And now you need to still then adjust your strategy to get stuff done and to be noticeable. Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. You're at the right place. This is Kevin Buertus, aka the best photographer you've never met. Kevin is a CA like me and also a podcast host on the Shift podcast as well. His background merges business, finance, and creativity with 14 years in corporate finance and 19 years as a business owner. Right now, he specializes in helping businesses and individuals refine their brand messaging and visual presentation through headshots, event photography, video content, and does all of this through his company called Meek Media. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, how to tackle personal branding when you're just qualified as a CA or any other profession. A big congratulations to all the successful APC candidates out there. Happy celebrating and enjoy the feeling knowing that for sure it will end in CASA. Kevin, it's great to talk to you today.
John, thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Bert.
Excellent. Looking forward to a nice chat with you. Now, Kevin, the trouble with CAs is that everyone thinks we're all the same. We wear the same clothes. We think the same. We do the same things. We stare at each other's shoes, all those normal jokes that people make. But this is a big problem out there. We study these courses. We're all different individuals, male, female, small firm, big firm, all that type of stuff. So we're actually not all the same, contrary to popular belief. Do you think this is the biggest branding issue that faces CAs and especially newly qualified CAs?
Yeah, I think the branding thing is a massive differentiator that we have for CAs. So yeah, I there was a very, very important thing that I had heard from my senior when I was in my first year, because I had been under the illusion of this, and he says not all CAs are created equally. And it struck me, and I paused for a minute, and I realized that like, there's so much individuality, there's so much uniqueness about each person and each one's abilities and technical abilities, their EQ, all of these things, right? That differentiates us. But from the outside, it's very difficult to see the difference between everybody else. For example, I went into a role that was looking for a CA. And I had actually been replacing somebody who was a CA in the role. But when I saw what this guy was doing, you were like, bro, how did you pass like your second year at varsity or something? You're like really basic. So, and not to slate on the guy, but it's that. Like, you know, they were just hiring a CA because they needed a CA and the requirements was a CA. So if we're all seen as being the same, if we're all being seen as similar, then really the only differentiator is going to be your price. If you think of any sort of commodity goods that we purchase, if I was going into a store with a bunch of, let's say there was four people that were selling water and I was thirsty and I don't know any difference between any of the brands over there, really for the most part, like, I mean, apart from price differentiation, which is something that we can go into as well. But for the most part, the logical choice is to kind of just maybe go with like the mid-range price, maybe, you know, depending on your budget. So that's going to be the challenge for people when they look at us as CAs, because they're just seeing, well, you're all the same. And the difference that you then have, if you go back to the bottle analogy, is that sometimes a purchase of Mount Fuji, if you're in the US, Valpre locally, it's like a price that is 20-30% higher than other brands. And you're wondering like why. It's probably it's the water, maybe different processes, but really it's that branding that they have. It's that differentiator. And I think that's such an important thing, such an important opportunity that we have as CAs to try to differentiate ourselves from the crowd. Because the reality is that most people don't want to differentiate. Most people don't want to put themselves out there. So what happens is that this herd just kind of moves along and you're just going to be on the average. And it's a good opportunity for people, especially on LinkedIn, to define their own brand and to have that personal branding that's going to set them above the crowd. Because there's so few people that are actually posting. There's so few people that are actually putting themselves out there. So yeah, I think it's really a critical aspect that we need to delve into.
No, exactly. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So here at The Right Place, we believe your own right place is at the intersection of your roles, relationships, and environments. And that's how we're going to unpack today. So if you think about your roles, oftentimes people say, oh, we just need a CA to do this. But like you just explained, not every CA is different. Not every CA is technically strong on finance or tax or management or auditing or something like that. So yeah. You need to be, what type of CA are you? You almost need to decide, what type of CA am I? Am I a go-getter? Am I an entrepreneurial-minded CA? Am I a traditional CA, a corporate CA? Am I more interested in the legal aspects of tax? Am I more interested in management accounting, running a business, doing reporting and stuff like that? And that's where your branding comes. Yeah, that's where your branding becomes super, super important. So now let's say I've just qualified. I've done the APC exam. I'm going to be signed off as a CA. Where do I even begin to define my personal brand as a newly qualified CA?
Gotcha. So firstly, in line with what you said earlier, congratulations to all those APC candidates. I loved it. I just had my LinkedIn feed like flooded with the guys posting their messages from Saika. So really, really well done. I think it's always a celebratory thing for, it's hard work that the guys put in. And I think that's part of it, right? There's so much hard work that goes into it. And the last thing that you want is to then, you know, let it just kind of fade into the background that you have. Okay. So with regards to our qualification, I think I'd actually been reading some studies now in the week where the guys had said, like, you know, the differentiators that we have with our qualification really matter within the first three years, if you want to say that. Like, so you cum laude, depending on which university you went to, which where you did your articles, all of those things, right? But thereafter, it kind of fades into the background and people more start asking, what is it that you've done? What is it? Who is it that you are? Because there's many people, and we were off air, we were talking about some of the CAs that you don't even know are CAs. We put it out there and people know that about us, but there's many CAs that are business owners that are in massively different fields that you don't even know they're CA because they're starting to take that step. Now, what does that mean for you if you've just qualified? Let's speak to that APC candidate. The important thing with this is that, again, you want to try to differentiate and be to showcase your uniqueness that you have in your abilities. And one of the ways that you do this is to actually find a niche and a space that you want to play in. It can be difficult because, you know, I think you get somewhat, for the most part, you get a bit sheltered in when you're doing your articles. But your articles, your life experience, and as you progress through life, usually gives you some sort of an indicator where what you prefer and what puts you off. So I was very fortunate when I was at Deloitte, they allowed us to do like the stints in different departments. And I knew from then that I hated tax. I wasn't as competent in tax as I was in other fields. So that was something that I could write off. But then I knew small businesses is something that I really, really liked. And my personal experience that I had with actually doing photos and, you know, going to these events, I was even taking photos at Deloitte's events, you know, just try to help out and give me the camera, I'll shoot it out. But the point is just that you start to realize what it is that you like. And for the most part, where you'll really find your joy, where you find your right place, that you'll find your happiness, where you find your fulfillment is when you start moving in that spaces that are going to give you energy and not take energy away. Not to say that it's not hard work, not to say that it's not difficult, but that when you're working at 2 o'clock in the morning and your eyes are bleary and you've had a week full of this, it's still something that you could push through because it's something that you enjoy doing on the whole. So once you have this niche that you have, you start to also realize that, that I'm not single niched only. There's not just Kevin the accountant. There's Kevin the father. There's Kevin the photographer. There's Kevin the business owner and all of these different aspects. And once you can identify, I would say, between 2 and 4, maybe 3 of these different niches that you have, once you start combining that together, that's when the personal brand actually starts to have fruition. Because it's these unique categories that are going to set you apart. Like a fingerprint that you have, it's going to be that thing that's going to actually put you in the place that you want to be in. So,
Yeah, that's a great answer. I think if it comes down to the fact of when you're at an event or when you're talking to someone, what are the things that you're talking about? If you're just talking about work, you're going to be very one-dimensional. And you might tick the box, yes, we need a CA for this. But if you're talking about what you did on the weekend or the charity that you're involved in or the sport that you play or like you doing the photography thing, that makes you an interesting person. You remember, people want to remember you and you want people to remember you as well. So remember, especially if you're doing a job application, you've got one shot to make a good impression. How do you show up? What's interesting about you? Maybe you look a bit different. Maybe you've got a badge on your jacket. Maybe you talk about sport. Oftentimes, and I've seen this in real life, if someone is a CA, you expect them to do a certain level of work. So now it almost doesn't matter about the technical abilities because people assume you've got the technical abilities. So your personal brand then needs to reflect, okay, who else are you? Are you an author? Are you a podcaster? Are you in media? Are you a part-time chef? Are you a surfer? Something like that. And that's what you need to embrace almost, because when you're applying for a job or you're looking for a secondment overseas or something like that, what makes you interesting? What makes you stand out? Because half the time, most of the people don't stand out. And then they wonder why they're not getting the opportunities that they want. Well, it's because you're not different. You look the same as everybody else. So I'd really encourage the APC candidates to embrace what makes you different. Embrace those things, those niches that you are already involved in, and double down on that because that's what's going to make you memorable. That contributes to your brand. Yes, you're a CA and you tick all of those boxes. But what boxes are you ticking in terms of the roles that you fulfill outside of your normal CA work? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, fully agree with it. I think it's such an important thing that we can acknowledge our responsibility for owning your own brand. Everybody has a brand. We must not make the assumption that, you know, because this whole term, I think personal branding, you know, it's come to the fore. You're going to see it on LinkedIn everywhere. And people think as if it's almost something that you're going to go towards, that's going to happen to you. Like right now, you have a personal brand. Ask your manager, ask the people that meet you, ask the people that even have just been acquaintances with you. If I was to interview all of those people and I'd say, okay, fine, tell me about John. Each person is going to have a different aspect of you and going to tell me about it. Now, John can either be somebody that's just, you know, just goes with the flow and does whatever, or John can be intentional about how he's going to show up, right? And that is what we want to do. We want to be able to create an impression in people's minds. And this is not like, this is not the, how can I say, like hacking the system or, you know, like doing that kind of thing. Like genuinely, you want to put your best foot forward so that people, when they have that experience with John, when they meet with John, that they understand who John is and they can see what that personal brand is, the intentionality that we have with it. On the matter of standing out and being different, it's so important to be able to be front of mind with people, to have something unique about you. You can just think of people that you've met along the way. If I say somebody who has a firm handshake, you can think of one or two people that have really, really good handshakes. Some people, you know, and the thing that I like to always think about is in the movie The Matrix, Keanu Reeves is or Neo, he's walking down the street. And everything, they intentionally do this like blue-green vibe. He's walking with his mentor, Morpheus, over there, and then he sees a lady in the red dress. lady in the red dress, and she walks past, and immediately, out of everybody that's around, there's something that just catches his eye, that causes him to pause and to just look at this lady. Now, I'm not, yeah, she's beautiful and all of those things, but there was something that was unique that stood out from, right? Of course, he flips around and he almost gets shot in his head because he gets distracted. But the point is just that, how do you become the person that's, you know, I say the red, that wears the red dress. Hopefully you're not wearing the red dress, John, in this case. But how do you get that uniqueness that's going to stand out in the crowd? And I think it's important that we also don't slight people that if the auditing, if accounting, if that CA thing is like your main factor, then become great at it. Become, you know, that's going to be your branding. But for the most part, I think even for those candidates, there's other aspects about it that also intrigue you. And it's that combination, like we said, that's going to become your red dress, your thing that's gonna separate you from everybody else. So yeah,
100%. There's this great video that I always share with youngsters that I talk about, because I mentor quite a few youngsters, and it's this video of Barack Obama being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him a question: "What is your best advice to young people starting out mm-hmm. in the career?" And he says, "Just learn how to get stuff done." If your reputation is someone that gets stuff done, people will notice. If you're a big talker yeah. and you talk nonsense and you overpromise and underdeliver, people are going to notice that as well. And that's not a good personal brand to have. So whatever is assigned to you, you're just nailing. So if you're in the auditing trenches and you're just nailing it and you're delivering on time, on budget, all that type of stuff, people are going to notice that.
Yeah.
And that becomes a good personal brand, because remember, you haven't got a lot of leverage when you're young. You're qualified and you're a CA and you can think you can take on the world. But the problem is you've gone up this level, but now you're just at the bottom of the next level. So you've gone through the trenches to get your studies, your CTA, you got two articles, but now you're just at the bottom of the next level.
Yeah.
And now you need to still then adjust your strategy to get stuff done and to be noticeable. Because people are still going to shunt you around. People are still going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
But if you get stuff done and you build this personal brand where you add value no matter where you are, that's a good thing. And I think that's one of the roles that you can easily embrace, because it's not going to cost you anything. It's just going to cost you time, effort, and energy. And all of that you invest is going to come back to you.
You know, I'm fully aligned with you over there. Your reputation precedes you. Many times as post articles in the big bad business world out there, like your reputation goes ahead and either opens a door, closes it, whether you like it or not. And a lot of people don't realize that. They just think like, okay, fine, I can just kind of go about things, just life, living life how I want to, or like, you know, just kind of going with the flow. But when there's an intentionality and building the reputation and building that, that goes ahead and really, like, I've just seen it happen. I've just seen the day that I became more intentional for Kevin and for what Kevin is putting out there, it had made the difference. But the challenge was I had to make up for my many years of not being intentional. So I had actually put myself on the back foot through my articles by not building this personal brand, by just kind of fading into the background. So yes, you become the bottom of the next chain that happens over there. But this goodwill that you bring forward, the reviews that you have, the people talk. And that's the other thing as well. Like, it felt unfair. I remember it in articles, like, you know, in your first year, the managers talk about you, right? Then the good candidates tend to be booked full in their hours. The guys at the medium, okay, fine, you'll just get plugged. But if in that first three, you know, that first 3 to 6 months, you're not performing and they can see your attitude and that stuff, then suddenly you get unbooked from jobs. Why? Why? It's that branding that you're putting out there. Now, that's from attitude and guys have it intentional. But what about people that you haven't even met yet? That's the important thing. And this is kind of, if I can just dovetail into where we've met on LinkedIn. You know, there was a study, I don't I don't fully necessarily agree with it, but I understand the principle. The guys had done a study of like showing a bunch of images through to the candidates that they were doing research with and asking the people for their opinions just of these, the images that get flashed upon, like, you know, what do you think that person's personality is like, etc. And it was crazy things because they were showing images at like 0.3 seconds, like literally split seconds in front of the people. And just based on that, people were building up their impressions. Never spoken to the person, never seen their mannerisms, don't know their backgrounds, don't know any of this stuff. But just how that person showed up in that image made an impression on the person that was reviewing. So the study then goes on to then say, well, okay, fine. So, you know, where they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, like a picture is worth 1,000 impressions. So how you show up, just as an example, on LinkedIn, for nothing else, just on your profile photo, that can already show somebody, hey, is this somebody that I want to talk to? Is this somebody that I don't want to talk to? And I know it's, I mean, that's, it's very superficial. We can say it's superficial because really, I mean, if I'm going to talk to the guy, I'm going to talk to him. But it's these little 1% that are going to help us to start defining who your brand is. So, for example, on LinkedIn, if your profile photo is a blank one, you know, just the silhouette, that tells me that you're not really active, right? If your profile photo is one where I can see that you were attending a wedding and you got somebody's arm across your shoulder and that kind of thing, it shows me you're not really serious about networking and that. But when I log on and I see, okay, fine, this guy's got a good headshot, it looks nice. Instantly, that's already part of that personal brand. It's already like creating that impression. So, and I mean, that's just one small aspect of this whole thing of personal branding. So if you're going to ask me for like the quickest win that you can do, like just as a APC candidate, is like, just get on LinkedIn, have a good profile photo, and just have your name with your CASA over there. That in itself, like I said, like that is a differentiator, because like only, I think the stats, you can correct me on this, the stats is like only 3% of LinkedIn users are actually active. So that's, you know, that's my quick little nugget that I just wanted to drop in there.
No, perfect, Kevin. I think that brings us nicely to talking more about relationships, and we're going to talk about online and in-person relationships. Let's carry on talking about LinkedIn, because this is something where I think people, they just shoot themselves in the foot. You, by the time you've finished your articles, you signed off, you've passed APC and everything, you should ideally have a couple of hundred or even a couple of thousand connections. You're meeting people continuously. And yeah, especially when you're young, you need to meet people and you need to connect with them online somewhere that you can keep track of them, because you never know when you're going to need a connection, a new job, a supplier, a partner, an investor, yeah, all of those things. So you need to be intentional about connect with every single person you've ever met at your CA firm, your clients,
yes,
all of that type of stuff, because that then gives you an online digital network that you can already start engaging with. Oftentimes, yeah, what happens with the APC candidates, they finish, they're wrapped up, and then they move on. And so you've spent 3 years at a firm, but you forget all the people that you connected with. Because remember, you move around teams, you move around clients, and then you leave the firm, and like you've almost lost that whole network of people, yeah, that you knew. You know the people, but you don't have their cell phone number, you've lost the email address because you had to give your laptop back, all of that stuff. So now you like have to go and remember, oh, who did I work with at Vodacom, or who did I work with at Eskom, or who, what was that guy's name? You've got to be intentional about connecting with LinkedIn. Everybody that I meet, I try and like, okay, you're on LinkedIn, cool, let's connect. Because one, yeah, day I might need you, one day you might need me, and then we've got that connection going. And exactly, yeah, like what you said about the profile photo, just have a decent photo, have a decent banner, have a decent headline, and, yeah, get the basics in place. There's nothing worse than connecting with someone that doesn't have a good profile. Like, what is this guy on about? Because that to me leaves a bad impression. And I say this all the time to companies that reach out to me for connections, that guys, you've got to have the basics in place, because that shows that you care. And you might say, oh, I hate LinkedIn. There are guys making millions of dollars on LinkedIn. So that means you hate a platform where you can make $1 million. That's not, yeah, a good look as well. And like you and I were discussing off air, you can't hate the game. Hating the game is the biggest waste of time out there. You've got to love the game. You've got to understand the game, and you've got to play the game. It's just the game. The game is the game. And LinkedIn can be a really powerful platform for that, where you can start building the personal brand of someone that's positive and not just a CA. I oftentimes say that being a CA is the least interesting thing about. For some people, it means the most. It's their biggest achievement. It's their biggest thing. And that's fine. That's wonderful. And I'm very happy for you. But what else is interesting about you? Why else must I spend 5 seconds on your profile? What else is drawing my attention? What else is pulling me in your general direction? If there is nothing, I'm going to move on to someone that's more interesting. Yeah. The other thing that people need to keep in mind is, especially when you're a young CA or young professional, is you're going to start applying for jobs. The first thing people are going to do is go and check out your LinkedIn. What is this person been saying? Who are they connected with? Who do they know that I should know or want to know? If there's nothing, well, that's a big cross for me. It's like, well, this guy doesn't do anything. He hasn't contributed or is inactive. And that is a big risk because you're shooting yourself in the foot. The basics are there. Just get it in place. And it means partnering with someone like you and Meek Media, where you can quickly accelerate that process, get some headshots, get some professional photos. And if you do that once a year or every 18 months or so, just have some new professional photos taken. That is what you can use for your personal branding. And you never know how valuable those photos will be later down the line when you're building a multi-million rand company, and you're traveling the world, and you've got these photos on hand to share with people. It can be absolutely golden for you.
Exactly. Exactly. So you talk about the APC candidates over here that lost their networks, and I'm guilty of that, actually. Like through my articles. I'm gonna show my age a bit here. But many, many moons ago I completed my articles. Or back then Facebook was all the rage. really showing my age now. And really, like, those are the kind of connections that I made. LinkedIn was something that you just created a profile on because, like, you were told to. Like, it was really dodgy. Like, LinkedIn was, like, proper, like, classifieds. You know, you got that sense of it. But what's happened recently, I'd say, like, in the last three or five years, LinkedIn has actually gone through an exercise. Because remember, they also listed on Google. Just track with me with this. They also listed on Google. And what we want to do is, of course, when you're in your business, all that, you want to get to the top page of any ranking for any Google search that you do. So LinkedIn went through this exercise where they were creating a lot of user-generated content, asking for expertise and people giving inputs on different topics. And what that actually did was it boosted LinkedIn's ratings on Google and their listings massively. So they come now on the top page of everything, right? So if I Google John Watson right now, right, I can almost guarantee you to like a 95% degree of certainty, unless you're like super amazing, like Bill Gates up there, like that kind of status. For the most part, your LinkedIn profile is going to be the first thing that comes up because of the status that LinkedIn has. And because you're on LinkedIn, that's what it's going to pull up first. And in line with what you said, you just think of any service provider that you go, if you, any person that you're going to meet, you Google them. You go and find out what it is that they, who is this person, right? And if LinkedIn's going to give you a leg up already to say, well, look, this profile is going to go up and the first thing that the person's going to click, usually, you know, apart from maybe the sponsorship ads, you're usually going to click the first one or two. So if your LinkedIn profile comes up over there, think of what your future employer, your future partner, your future vendor that you're gonna get ties with. What is it that they're gonna see over there? What's that first thing? Now, if we tie up that research, first thing that they're gonna see is this image that you have as a profile photo. They're gonna see your banner, and a lot of times, you know, the banner. I think if we can just go into a bit of detail of that top three things that you have over there, the banner, people just use it to post pictures of whatever, like a sunset. Or my cats or something. Like, imagine if I had the first page of a newspaper or something, right? With that headline that's on that thing, right? And you just saw a sunset. Like, you'd be like, oh, what? Just move on. But when it's something that's compelling and something that is crisp, that tells me what it is or that you do or who it is that you are, immediately within a couple of seconds, I can try to get an idea of what it is that you do. right? So that's going to be my banner over there. And a quick hack that you can do on this is just pause, and you need to do a bit of research on it. But if you did nothing else, you would put on there what it is that you do, who you do it for, and any sort of achievement that you've had, any sort of result that you had with it. So for example, when it's me, I create result-driving visual content for executives. And right underneath it, you can see that I have 235-star Google reviews with some of the customers that I've worked with, right? In the space of 3 seconds, if you were to go into my profile right now, you'd know what it is that I do, what space that I'm in. So again, that's just something for candidates to think about. And like, you don't necessarily need to have it all the time. Like, I promise you, it's a work in progress, because things change. You're like, actually, I don't want to be known for that. And you keep changing it up. So you have your profile photo, you have your banner. Again, these are quick wins that you can do, like Canva, like you can do it over there, right? And then the third thing, I think that's probably, I dare say it's even more important than the banner, is your headline. LinkedIn allows you, I think it ranges between 45 and 60 characters, characters individually, that you can write something of a headline that will appear with your profile and your name every single time that you comment, anywhere that you appear in LinkedIn. It's going to give you this headline that you have over here. Now, a lot of people use that to just state their resume, chartered accountant, working at Deloitte, as an example, right? Nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, do it, right? But in this age of attention economy, where you want to grab people's attention, it needs to be something that's going to be crisp, something that's going to be catchy, something that's going to grab your users or your readers' attention. So in my case, for example, you introduced me over there, and it took me long to get to this, right? The best photographer you've never met. And it's like, it creates a bit of tension, I think, with people, because they're like, CA this, and yes, photography over here at the bottom. But I think it's that kind of thing that you have to think of, what is the one unique thing that you want to display within 45 characters. And I promise you, I've rewritten that title. I wouldn't lie if I said I rewrote it about 30 times. Each time articulating doesn't make sense. Put it out there. Do people catch it? Then people ask you, like, what the hell are you writing over here? I'm like, okay, it doesn't work. Go back. Rewrite. Until you get to something that you're more comfortable with.
No, that's great advice there, Kevin, about the profile and the management. And remember, this is your own space. You need to own it. Mm-hmm. Don't just do the default settings, the run-of-the-mill stuff. Make your brand attractive and interesting. People want to then read a little bit more about you if they come across your profile. And let's talk about content now and what people should post about, because that's another question that I get a lot. And for me, it comes down to two things. What did I do today? And what am I thinking about? And people are like, oh, but I can't post about my meetings and it's confidential information. It's like, no one asked you to post anything confidential, anything controversial, or anything political, anything like that. You can literally write about, we were in a tough meeting and this is what I learned, or I observed my manager doing this, or I had to prepare this proposal and this is the strategy I followed. You don't have to share any confidential information. Just talk about how you did something, because that's going to be helpful to somebody else. Or how did I approach this interview? How did I approach this client? Or I had a bad call with a client and I had to step up and save the day. Or I had a run-in with an old friend of mine and this is what we talked about. That type of stuff is interesting, and it keeps the algorithm in your favor and it keeps your content going. And also, you can use that on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all that type of stuff. You don't have to necessarily write specific LinkedIn content just yet. If you're very active on Instagram posting stuff and it's maybe work-related, you can put that same content on LinkedIn, because that's going to get the algorithm going. People are going to like it. They're going to see it. They might even repost it for you as well. So you don't have to overthink it. The problem is, we want to put all our eggs in one basket. We want to write this massive book of a post. It's like, guys, stick to one thing, one post, one idea. That is the golden rule.
I'm fully on board with you on that. And I think if you ever go into people's profiles and you see, I'll use you as an example, like you see this amazing written post and you know, it can be overwhelming if you haven't made your first post yet, or if you've only posted like 3 times. And of that 3 times, it's like a job update, you know. It can be intimidating. And I like what you said, like, just keep it simple. One thought, one idea, and one post that you have. That's a good starting point. There's something that's very, very important in a book that I had read by Austin Kleon. It says, show your work. The guy goes into the history of like all the great artists, composers, musicians, all of that, right? They weren't, you think, like, we look back and we see Beethoven and we see like Fifth Symphony and it's like, wow, like, you know, you just spat it out, like, you know. But when you go into the history of it, you see how there was many composers at that time, and Beethoven would put out these pieces and, you know, compare to the other person and build and try to like iterate and that thing. And then the masterpiece comes out at the end. And the thing was, back then, even there was a degree of building in public. Now, this idea, I think Renier mentioned it in your podcast that you did recently. It's so important that you start taking just that first step, that second step of like what it is that you're doing. And again, like you said, it could just be a meeting with a tough client and, you know, learned maybe to just shut up sometimes and be humble. Like that could be like a learning point on the thing. That's okay. That's sufficient to just get into that habit of things. Of posting and that. And something I think that I've picked up with a lot of people, there's this thing called the spotlight effect that we have, where we imagine in our minds that when I make my post, every single person's going to see it. Everyone's going to comment and they're going to just think, what is this guy trying? He's a CA. How does he think it is? You know? And you think that you have the spotlight on you. But the reality is that every single one of us are selfish. Like, I worry about what's happening in my world for the most part. For my wife, my kids, my close circle of friends, they get a bit of it. But for the most part, I'm really just more worried about, you know, me. So in that regard, like, you think everybody really cares about your initial posts and all of that. But they don't. They don't. Maybe your mother's going to like it and your one of your friends is going to like on your post and that stuff. But for the most part, it's just going to carry on. Like, you'll just tick over and people will just move on. But it's in the posting, reiterating, learning, posting, reiterating, learning, and that process that you go, that you start to build this posting muscle, this content muscle, so that you're able to then start moving on and start, as you build connections in the space that you want to be in, especially people, that's just re-emphasizing where your expertise is, about your personal brand, what it is that you're doing as you start posting in that direction. But there has to be a first step, guys. Think of the fastest athlete that you can think of, the highest jumper. They all had to start with a baby step. They all had to take a few steps and fall. There has to be that first step. And why not today? Why not right now? As you're finishing on this podcast, why not log in and just share 5 lines, 3 lines, what it is that you did today, and maybe a learning that you have from it, and post it. We give you permission to do that. It's as simple as that, and as easy as that, and as difficult as that as well. Think about it.
No, I think that's excellent advice. And I think I always tell people, just start. Don't think about it. Don't put it off. You know you should have been doing it already. Just start. And this is how you can thank yourself in 5 years' time. I'm so glad I started writing. Because you need to be able to communicate to people, what do you do? Why do you do it? Who do you do it for? How much does it cost? How long does it take? What success have you had? And as a CA, you need to write. You need to be able to write emails, reports, proposals, all that type of stuff. So you've been writing a lot. So now take that ammunition that you've got, that history that you've got, the solutions you've presented, the problems that you've solved, and tell people about that. Yes, maybe no one looks at it for the first 100 posts or so. That's fine. At least you did it. Yeah. There was I think it was on a podcast recently where someone shared about all the famous content creators right now.
Yeah.
And the journey that they faced. So Mr. Beast posted 455 videos before someone actually noticed what was going on. Gary Vaynerchuk posted 1,000 wine review videos before anyone noticed. Colonel Sanders' KFC recipe was rejected over 1,000 times. Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse drawings were rejected over 300 times.
Yeah.
Those people became massively successful because they never gave up. Yeah. If you're going to give up after two posts, oh, I didn't get 1,000 likes and I didn't get 1,000,000 followers, that's not the game. Yep. That's honestly not how it works. Yeah. And also, it's not competition. It's not a competition. Mm. I'm not in competition with you, Kevin, as a CEO. I'm not in competition with Grant Grief as a CEO, or Lo Barnhart as a CEO, or any of these other good content creators on LinkedIn. There is no competition. We're all playing the infinite game. We're all contributing. We all got something positive to say, and there's enough space for everybody. So don't not start because you think, oh, I'm not going to be able to compete with Kevin, or look at John, he's got so many followers, or look at Rudolph, what they're up to. Just start. Mm. Do it for you first. So whatever you do, do it for you, because one day it is going to pay off. And it can't not pay off, because if you don't give up, you will win eventually. And when you win eventually, you'll be like, oh my word, look at this journey I've been on. Nothing happened. And this is something that I learned from John Sarnay and Eric Kruger on the Expansive Podcast. Mm. They also said they done 280 episodes of their podcast before they won an award. So nothing happened for years. And then it explodes. But you can't just expect something to explode out of the blue after two or three episodes or one or two posts. It happens over time. And the time is when you're refining it. You're building up this muscle memory, like you just said, about the content. And that's when you get good at it. And you get better and better and better and better and better and better. And then it's the right place, right time, and stuff happens. And then you're world famous. Depending on, obviously, what you want to achieve in life. But there is no quick wins. And like Alex Hormozi always says as well, the long way is the shortcut. Because no one wants to do the long way. Everyone wants a shortcut to 1,000,000 followers and $50 million in revenue and stuff like that. But the long way is the shortcut. So just start the long way. Just get going.
Yeah. So if I could, I'm so in line with it, man. Like, it does. I think you come in with expectations sometimes, you know, like, I'm writing this most amazing post, and then you get like three likes on it and maybe one comment if you're lucky. You know, it happens like that. And the idea is never to, and the encouragement is never to worry about that as an affirmation in itself. Like, it's either I never lose. I'm only learning. And it's just that reiteration and working on it. One thing that I see that's just a bit different, I think, with this generation, and again, like, it's not the age thing. It's just based on where we're at. Like, you know, a lot of the guys that are qualifying now are in the Gen Z generation. And the Gen Z generation is a lot, has an affinity with TikTok. And I think it happened, you know, especially like during COVID, but there was a normalization of video. There's a normalization of the idea that I've got a content creating tool in my pocket. I can do a video of it. I'll be, you know, for the most part, when it started out, it was dances and silly things like that. But there's a normalization of people doing video. Now, if we're in the older generation, millennials like myself, I think having grown up watching these amazing TV shows and all these movies, there's a reverence that you have for video. Like, wow, you know, it's only the elite that got to be on camera. So there's a fear from that generation to even get in front of camera at all. We're talking about content creation. Whereas I think now with the candidates that are coming through now, they have this unique opportunity to be more comfortable in front of camera, because they don't have that reverence for people that are on that come on screen, whether it be TV or on your phone. So something that I think is worth exploring, especially for the candidates that are really going to help you to start standing out and to create that personal branding, is actually getting on camera. Which for some people would, right at that moment when I mentioned that, you may want to throw up out of like the anxiety that comes with that. But maybe consider that. Consider it's something that I've started doing over the last couple of months. John's doing it as well. But when you start possibly creating content from a visual nature, you start to see the uniqueness about John as the person, as Kevin as the person, as you as the person. How do you sound like? What's your mannerisms like? Do you like looking at the camera? Do you have a bit of a shy demeanor? all of that, that can also help to build the personal branding. Now, that is maybe something that's a couple of steps ahead, but it's something that I think people should start considering, especially given that, you know, LinkedIn, there's different, for people that maybe don't know, there's different posting formats. There's text only, text and photo, carousels, polls, and one of these things is video. The vertical video, LinkedIn recently introduced it, like in the last 8 months, they rolled it out. And inevitably, the stats are showing that that's starting to climb in terms of reach. So it's still early, relatively early days. It's a good time for you to start getting used to being on camera. And when nobody's watching, like when, again, like that spotlight effect, like nobody really is even worried about it, like to start getting those reps in and starting to get more traction as it's building up over on that. So that's something to consider. And if I could just add one more thing in for people that just want to do quick posts, like we've got transcribes on our phone, right? So if I do an audio, it can transcribe it out for me. At the end of your day, in the middle of your day, take 1 minute. 1 minute. Just think about some thought that's come to your mind, something that you've done. Do a voice note and do a transcription of it. That in itself is 90% of a post that you need. You just need to go in and make sure that you articulate it properly. I and are a lot, with a lot of dead time in between. So I would then go in and I just go and edit it just to make sure it's right. And there's your first post. Like 1 minute of a voice note. You just copy and you paste that and you just edit it a little and there you go. It can't get any easier than that, guys.
No, exactly. I think there's a lot of options out there. And the other warning that I'd like to give the APC candidates is someone that is maybe a worse candidate than you, maybe not as bright, not as sharp, didn't do as well in the test, is going to be doing better at personal branding because they just started. Yes. And they just tried. Yeah. So you're going to think, oh, look at this guy. He's been an idiot. Or yeah. No one's going to watch this stuff. But you've got nothing. You've got no skin in the game. You've got nothing happening on your side. And you're complaining about some person that you're judging for being a worse candidate than you. But they're playing the game. So I think it's a warning that don't be like that. No one likes people like that. Just get out there and try. And remember, do it for you. These are your thoughts. You almost, people ask, like, why do I post? It's like, because that's what I was thinking about. And it's almost like a journal. This is what I was thinking about, or this is something that interested me, or this is a question I got from one of my clients, or this is something I learned on a podcast. So if you want to know what I was thinking about, just go and check my LinkedIn, because that's got all of my thoughts pretty much together there. So it becomes a journal of what's going on in your life. What were you thinking about? What were your observations? And one day you're going to write a book and you're going to go and grab all of your LinkedIn posts, because that's half the content done already. You're going to go grab all your transcribed videos. You're going to go grab all of your podcast appearances. And that's going to become your first book. And you're going to be a world famous author because you've done the content game from day one. I think, Kevin, let's now pivot to the in-person relationships. And this is one thing that people might be surprised at. But no one teaches you how to network when you're a budding CA. When you're doing your BCom, when you're doing your CTA, your articles, there isn't really any networking classes unless there's something special that your firm has done. So now we've talked about the digital networking side of things. Let's quickly talk about the physical networking side. And I think this is becoming more and more important because everything is now digital. We live on our laptops, we live on our phones, but people need human connections to get anywhere in life. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with it. Always, I mean, that's the uniqueness, right? When everybody's swimming in one direction, it's the fish that's going in the opposite direction that's going to catch you. And likewise, we've become so used to talking to people on screens. I mean, it's you get a bit desensitized to the fact that there's another human being, an actual physical human being on the other side. And it's when you make that connection with people, that's something that's again going to stick out with you. When you have 100 connection requests and you have 100 friends online, but there's one person that actually says, hey, let's go grab a coffee, let's start chatting, and you actually see that person. That's that uniqueness. Now, of course, we're limited with the amount of time that we have to do that, to actually meet. But it's such an important thing. And I'm a big, I lobby for it when I talk to, if I talk to any lecturers and that stuff, like, why are you not teaching these soft skills at university level? Why are we not making it part of the curriculum? And soft skills is such a bad term, because like you think soft and people are like, oh, shame. It's soft skills that you have. I like that recently it's picked up the term of power skills, you know, of being able to just have a conversation with somebody. And people that tend to be, and this is now a very generalized statement, if you're a CA, there's a higher likelihood that you have a more introverted personality. Again, I'm painting with very broad strokes over here, that you prefer, you know, smaller crowds, and sometimes you don't want to even put yourself out there. You prefer your spreadsheets, that kind of a thing, right? You have a tendency for it, not only that. So we need to break through that mold to actually have the skills to meet with people, to be able to have a conversation and to have to redirect and to have some questions at the back of your mind on how I can actually keep this conversation going. Because really, as part of the personal branding, like I've seen it over the last couple of years, like through the business, it's when you meet people, when you start having conversation with them and be somebody that people can talk to and that want to talk to, it's going to make a world of a difference. Because that conversation that you have over there, that person's going to go into a room, potentially, where a requirement is going to be needed. And you want that person to be having your name at the front of their mind to be able to say, hey, listen, I know this candidate. I know this guy that can possibly do this job. You won't believe how many referrals I get. Specifically in my business, I would say 60 to 70% at the moment is referrals from initial clients that I had, right? And that comes from just an initial conversation that you have, that you can't see how far down the road it's going to go. So yeah, like soft skills, just getting out there, getting to network with people. And it's awkward, man. Let's not, we mustn't play this game of like, oh yeah, you know, I'm the boss at networking and that, especially at the start. It's crazy as hell, but you have to make that decision to like, I'm gonna put myself out there and I'm gonna say, hey, my name is Kevin and you know, I do this. What's your name? And just start a basic conversation like that. And you'll find a lot of times that the person on the other end is just looking for somebody to say hello. It's just looking for somebody to start a conversation. And you never know where it's gonna go. But you have to have that networking, that initial conversation to start. So I'm a big fan of it. Massive.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that you made there about connecting intentionally, but also then being open for referrals, being visible so that people can connect you. If you're just going to sit back and wait for networking to happen, it's not going to happen. That's really not how it works. And hopefully you've picked up some networking tips during your articles, during your training. I know Psyker has a lot of networking events for the under 35s and things like that. So hopefully you've been putting yourself out there. And that eventually becomes the game. So all the time that you've invested or not invested in networking is gonna come back to support your next moves in your career. Hopefully you've opened up some of the right doors that you can have conversations about what's my next move going to be, or where do I want to go next, or I want to move overseas, or I want to join this company or that company. So if you are feeling, and this is a feeling, networking is a feeling, if you feel my networking is off, take some time out of your schedule and go network. Meet up with people, have coffees, yeah. Go for a lunch, go play paddle, go play golf, but not with the aim of getting something, just reigniting the networking fire and putting yourself out there. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be. And yes, as CAs, we are quite strange animals and we don't always know what to say and things can get awkward and that. But the more you do it, you build up this muscle memory of how to handle a conversation. And that becomes important as well. And it's not to turn all CAs or professional people into extroverts. That's not what we want to do. Introverts are incredibly powerful at networking. It's to kind of maximize your value as a networker, as a key person of influence, as a connector of people and ideas. And that again will make you memorable. That again contributes to your personal brand, how you handle yourself in public, how you handle yourself talking or presenting or talking on a podcast or on television even. So you might not be a networking whiz, but you can still hold your own. You can still add value. You can still get a have a good conversation going, and all of that's going to all of that is going to play its part in reinforcing your brand. And all of this works together, Kevin. And I think you'll agree with me. You've got your LinkedIn, you've got your website, you've got your TikTok, you've got your Instagram, you've got your in-person networking. All of that is building your brand. All of that is shaping the idea of who you are. Not just a CA, but I'm a CA and I do this. I'm a CA and I solve this problem for these people and these are my results. And that is a personal brand that becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And so one day when you need to make a big move, you've got a lot of like social capital. You've got a lot of ammunition. You've got a lot of leverage in your network. And that is when you're like, oh, I'm so grateful I implemented and invested in my personal brand.
Yeah. And you'll only appreciate it later down the road. You know, it's planting the seeds now, and in a couple of years' time, where it's gonna sprout. Maybe, I mean, sometimes it happens even earlier on. The doors open even earlier on. You know, this the lack of networking. Life is a bit unfair, a lot of times. I remember having an audit manager, absolutely brilliant, absolutely amazing, and she just got overlooked so many times for partnership. Years. Weaker candidates then became partners. I was glad to meet her recently. I think it was last year that she had finally made partnership. But even with her, she had to change. She would just retreat into a corner with her team, just do her audit file, submit, get it done. And unfortunately, it was her lack of networking. It was only then when it clicked with her that she started to put herself out there. Very difficult to do that. Very awkward, socially awkward, soft-spoken. But it was in building those relationships that opened up. And I think that's a good indicator for every single one of us that, like, this is the game, man. The game is built on relationship. If we're going to succeed, if you're going to, whether it be in the pure accounting and auditing space, whether it's going to be in business outside, man, you got to be able to talk. You got to be able to have a conversation with someone. It's not just spreadsheets and numbers that's going on. Of course, there's benefits. Of course, you want it to be profitable and you need to display that. But people, they base their decisions on emotion, man. And then they use the facts afterwards to reinforce their decision that they have. And I think a lot of, I only realized that really like recently, that a lot of our decisions are based on emotion. So when somebody's deciding whether they should work with you, whether they should promote you, whether they want to do business with you, a lot of time that is first driven by emotion, and then they'll go and look for the facts to justify or to decline why you shouldn't do it, right? There's some managers you're just like, why is this guy putting me down the whole time? And it's probably they have, and I'm not justifying it, not at all, but they may just have an emotional response to you, and then they will go and they'll look past the 10 good things that you do and focus on only that one bad thing that you did to justify their decision that they're making in their mind. We've all experienced that at some time. So yeah, it's just, yeah, man, this relationship, the networking, putting yourself out there. Like, we can't stress it enough. And it's, for some people, it's easier. I think if you have that personality and, you know, you're out there, it can tend to be easier. For the rest of us who are introverted by nature, myself included, it's something that you build up over time. And it was just something I have been intentional about, to the point now where when I meet with people, they thinking, oh, this guy's an extrovert, but it's years and years of just putting in the reps. And not to say that I'm not comfortable talking out there. It's just, I'll still prefer to draw the energy on these kind of one-on-one conversations.
No, exactly, Kevin. I think you made a great point there. And Kevin, unfortunately, we have to wrap up now. This has been such a fascinating discussion. Thank you for sharing more of your story and more of your expertise, especially in the LinkedIn space and the personal branding space. And I really hope that the successful and unsuccessful APC candidates take this on board and just process what we've talked about, because I think it's important. This is the era of personal branding. This is the era to get online, to put yourself out there, and to play the game. It's part of the game. The game has changed. It's not just business cards and mailing your Microsoft Word CV around to people. Those days are gone. So you need to get out there and do it. And there's really useful people out there that are willing to help you. Like yourself, Meek Media, there's some really other really great other CAs to follow on LinkedIn as well. And there's some really good podcasts out there that give you valuable information that you can take on board to build your brand as you're starting out in your career. Kevin, if people want to know more about you and Meek Media and what you have to offer, what is the best way to get in contact?
Well, I'm very active on the LinkedIn space. So if you just search for Kevin Boetes, Kevin Boetes, depending on how you want to pronounce it, you'll find me over there. And with my tagline, the best photographer you've never met. Alternatively, you can check out my website, www.meekmedia.co.za. And I think, you know, if you're in this conversation and something piqued your interest, shoot me a DM. Like, just send out a connection request. I've got quite a bit of free content, checklists, and stuff that can really help you with starting out the journey. You know, like, you've got you just got to start. And I wish that I had a leg up. I think even for you as well, John. Like, it would have been nice to just have somebody to just point you in the right direction. I think for a lot of us, we kind of just had to navigate the space and work it out. So if we, between John and myself, can help to just shorten that wasted time that you have and kind of point you in the right direction, then that's time well spent for both of us. So yeah, let's do it.
Awesome, Kevin. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kevin Boetes from Meek Media. Please like and subscribe to the Right Place podcast. Please share this episode with your recently qualified CA friends and connections, especially those that need to up their game and they know who they are already. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Sure, John. Cheers, mate.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time at the Right Place.